And this morning I was told that he was in the surgery and he was out.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to this OSG meeting on the 15th of October. I'm required to read a declaration to you about recordings. Please note that the meeting will be recorded and sound recordings subsequently made available via the council's website. In addition, please be advised that under the openness of local government bodies, Regulation 2014, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. If you have any queries to these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services officer who is in attendance. Next one on the item is apologies. Do we have any apologies?
We don't have any apologies,
but we have very unfortunately lost Councillor Sullivan. He was with us for a long time, he was a very popular chap, and unfortunately died about 10 days ago. And we do welcome to the team, Sue Gerard, who was with us a while ago, got a bit of experience, but nice to have you back, Sue.
Thank you. It's good to be back. I can understand.
Okay, item two on the agenda is the minutes of the previous meetings. I've read the meeting and minutes and I couldn't find anything wrong with them. Did anybody else have a look and any comment anybody wants to make?
No.
Thank goodness, because I've signed them. Disclosures, pecuniary or personal interest? No declaration.
No.
Declaration of party whip? No, we're not subject to that either. Question under scrutiny committee procedures, item 5.
No.
No questions were submitted. Right, so then we come to the main topic is the cabinet items for pre-decision scrutiny. And the first one on the agenda is the future cemetery provision for Loughborough. And I'd like to call upon the lead member to introduce.
Oh, yes. Okay. As you know, the council is looking at options to increase burial provision in Loughborough, as the existing cemetery is expected to only last another 4 years, and that's based on 60 burials a year, so we don't have a huge number of burials. It's worth noting that the council does not have to provide burial spaces, but believes it's the right thing to do for the borough. Alternatively, the council could look to find a commercial operator or do nothing, leaving the prospect that Loughborough families would have to bury loved ones outside of the town. So, the council has investigated a number of possibilities and identified three viable options which will provide burial space for many years to come. The three options are Allendale Road, part of Shelthorpe Golf Course, Poplar Road, and Nampanton Agricultural Land. Other options have been considered and investigated, but discounted for a number of reasons. And they included Haddon Agricultural Land off Shepshed Road, our own allotment land where we have 9 sites within Loughborough, the sports ground at Derby Road, Nampanton and Lodge Farm. They are the three sports grounds that we have. And Lodge Farm is actually leased from the County Council. We also looked at the A6 corridor after some suggestions that there was an abundance of pasture and agricultural land along this corridor. But obviously the entire A6 corridor has a high flood risk. And I don't think we want coffins floating down the A6.
No.
There is other agricultural land, but these have limitations, often because they're not only prone to flooding, but they're not within the council ownership, which would then be expensive if we wanted to purchase. and in particular had an agricultural land, you know, we didn't actually have access to it. So to buy that off the farmer once he knew that we would, might want it, could result in it being a ransom strip. And obviously the council doesn't have that sort of money. So you've got three options. We went through a huge amount of factors in considering those options, and that included the costs, the technical aspects of developing each site, the consultation responses and other factors before making a decision. As you know, the council held a consultation between August the 8th and September the 23rd, and we had quite a large number of responses, which was quite good for a consultation. It was over 600, wasn't it? Over 700 at the last count. So if you would like questions, more detail, we're all here to help.
Thank you very much, Jenny. Matt, are you going to do the next bit?
Yes, please. Just add a little bit to Councillor Boker's statement there, if I could. It's Matt Bradford, Head of Cleansing and Open Spaces. Yes, as Councillor Boker's pointed out, after the Cabinet decision of 16th of November 2017, which was actually stated in your report, 2018, apologies for that, it is a typo. Officers have undertaken a lot of work to explore the options at the sites previously identified as in previous reports, and to do sort of desktop options appraisals on other sites. And that work included undertaking tier two environmental assessments that look at various geological factors for each site, and look at the vulnerability to site two for water. So each of the sites that we look at, they, in order to provide a burial site, we need approval from the Environment Agency before we can bury people on the site, and that was the forefront of the work that we did. So that the site can't be in a flood risk zone, which was quite a big restriction in a town like Loughborough, because there are quite a lot of the town is in a flood risk zone, and the water table has to be below 3 metres. So effectively, you need a metre of dry soil beneath the coffin, which you've buried it, and a metre above, essentially. And again, in Loughborough, that's quite difficult because the water table is quite high in some areas. So we didn't really have a free rein of anywhere in Loughborough. We had this in mind when we shortlisted our sites, and we undertook the appropriate tier two environmental assessments. So we started with four sites, the ones that Councillor Boker mentioned, and the only site that we discounted at that stage was the site at Hathern, and there were a number of reasons for that, and one of the primary ones was the fact that the site is effectively landlocked, and we would need to purchase land off somebody else in order to gain access, and that could prove problematic. The site also has quite a steep gradient, and there were concerns about public transport access to that particular site, so we decided that was maybe too difficult, and we focused on the other three, really. I think from the three sites that we took forward, Allendale Road, the golf course and agricultural land at Nampanton, I think they were all viable sites. You could provide a cemetery on all of those sites. It came down to the particular pros and cons of each site from a technical and a cost point of view, and the public consultation that was conducted in August and September. Once we'd conducted all of that work, we decided that Nampanton was probably our preferred location. There were a number of key factors in deciding that Nampanton was our preferred location, one being quite strong public support for that particular site, Another one being the capacity that it provides. It is a long-term solution for the town, for burial space. It has relatively good public access, public transport access, and it didn't seem to compromise too many residents in the fact that it wasn't overlooked by many housing developments there. So we are recommending to the Cabinet later this week that Nampanton is our preferred site, and we move that site to the next stage, which is to obtain the necessary approvals from planning, because we'll need planning permission, and the Environment Agency, and start undertaking the more detailed studies and survey work in order to gain those permissions and take that site forward for construction if that approval is given.
Thank you very much indeed. One thing that strikes me is this is the reason we're here is that we went through this exercise previously about a year or so ago, and Allendale Road was chosen as a preferred site then. That went to Cabinet, and I think it went about to go to Council, and it was called in to Scrutiny Management Board, who sent it back, and that's what we're doing now. Why was Allendale Road thought to be such a good idea then?
I think, as I say, all of the three sites could be provided as a cemetery. There wasn't anything in those Tier 2 environmental assessments that ruled that particular site out. And Allendale Road has got a number of advantages to it. So we felt that it would probably have been the easiest site to bring into operation as a cemetery. Because of the nature of it, the size of it, we felt that its proximity to the existing cemetery was an advantage, so we could have workforce operating across both sites, but having a primary depot at one of the sites, so that was a particular advantage. It was close to the town as well. It has good links. I guess those are the pros. One of the cons for that site was that it does have quite a short lifespan of around 40 years, so it was a question of weighing that up and speaking to the project board to decide really which was their preferred location and where we wanted to go.
Of course, with the consultation, people brought up the loss of recreational land and also the proximity to other housing, which I felt were good points.
Yeah.
Thank you. Anybody else, any questions?
What is the grade of the soil, agricultural soil at Nampanton?
Well, the study that we've done at the moment is a Tier 2 environmental assessment that looks at the soil, in particular the water qualities there, and that has indicated at this stage that Nampanton is suitable for
Is it A or B? A 1 to 3 or B?
I'd have to have a look at the report and see that. And all the reports on all of the Tier 2 environmental assessments, they're quite thick documents for each site, are provided as background papers to the report. I can't quite recall at the moment what sort of particular soil type it was, but the experts that we've been working with have indicated that at this stage it's a suitable site to take forward to the next stage, and that's what we're focused on. There is some surface water management that would need to be done there, which is quite feasible and deliverable, but the water table does meet the requirements that we think at this stage.
As you know, Sanniston's just gone through it, and I've been on the panel, and we were told the higher grade the agricultural land, the dearer it could be. But if it was a low grade, it would be cheaper.
Yeah, but we actually own this agricultural land. So we don't have to pay for it.
Oh, that's even better.
That's why these are the viable options.
Right.
We don't have to pay for any of these.
Thank you. Yeah, that's good.
Apart from the development costs, of course, which we don't have.
Yeah, sorry. Apart from developing a cemetery, we don't have to buy the land.
Oh, thank you.
Well, we would be paying that anyway, wouldn't we? Whatever we
pay,
that's fine. Andy?
Matt, just a quick question. In terms of viability, what does Nampanton bring to us in terms of years?
276. Yes.
So it's a long time.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons against Allendale is that we don't want, I mean, you and me might not be around, but in 40 years, we don't want to be looking at this all over again.
Yeah.
We need a sustainable site for far into the future. And at 60 burials a year, it's going to last a long time. And it's not going to fill up very quickly.
My apologies, I actually did see that. I completely missed it.
No, don't worry.
No.
So that's a big plus for.
Exactly. Nambang. I've actually read the report.
Yeah.
And yes.
I think this. When I looked at this, I read the papers very quickly, and I think actually the site that has been suggested, Nampantin, you went out to the public, you went for the scrutiny of the public, you sent out, was it 800 or 900?
900.
And to get 700 back,
yeah, it's pretty good.
So my argument is that really, if the public want this, the longevity of this is a lot better. As the lead member has suggested, we will not be around, but this will be around a long time after us for the people of the residents of Charnwood and Loughborough.
And I know it's a subjective comment, but I actually think it's a very nice site, a very nice location. It could be developed into a very peaceful environment with nice views up to outwards, etc. And I think a lot of people who answered the consultation in favour of Nampantin recognised that. They thought that it would be a very attractive site.
Come in, Sandy. Thank you. Thank you. Any other comments? No? Well, okay then. Thank you all very much. We are being asked to the recommendation of the land at Nampantin be approved as a location of the site of the development of the new cemetery. I think we've heard lots of good reasons why we should go ahead with that. I mean, the public consultation I think is very, very important, and people were very overwhelmingly in favour of this. And its corresponding numbers sort of against Allendale Road.
And as you know, we are a council that listens to their customers.
Well, we certainly have shown it here. And I take your point, Jenny, as well. It's a tranquil setting, and I think it really can be a sort of a great asset to the town. So,
I'd like to recommend that we go with the Nampantin site.
And I second that.
And we have a ring and seconder, so we're recommending that the Nampantin site be put forward as the preferred option for the Loughborough new cemetery. Would you like to join us? Okay, the next item on the agenda is considering of the future delivery of revenues and benefits options. And I'd like to call upon Councillor Lee Harper-Davis to introduce the topic, please.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, regarding the options we're looking to explore for the future of our revenues and benefits. And obviously, just referring back to the papers, but in the background, in 2009, Charnwood agreed to outsource its benefits and benefits rate services to Capita for an initial period of 10 years, which is effective from 2010. The contract has the option for extension for an additional 5 years to 2020, and we're actually nearing the considerations that we have to take now as we're near the end of the current contract period. So it's really appropriate to look at and explore the options which are available to us. And they're set out in the paper in the broadest terms what we can, the options are obviously to bring the currently outsourced capital contract back in house, to seek a shared agreement with some local authorities, to extend the current contract for maximum of 10 years, and to re-procure an outsourced agreement for provision of revenues and benefits and services for our residents. Obviously, Simon will take you through any technical detail. And I think we've got some current updates as well. I met with Kerry, I think it was Thursday of last week, and we were still waiting for some capita details and some details regarding a cabinet briefing which we had last week, also, week before last week, wasn't it? Week before last, 2 weeks ago. Just to explore what options we are open to us. Obviously, we need the best service for the Charnwood residents, but currently, really what we're looking at is, or what's the most feasible at this moment in time, is to extend the existing contract for a maximum of 5 years, and then the possibility of sharing a having shared contract with some local district councils. So any technical information, I'm sure, and we've got some up-to-date information, Simon, we have from last week.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Simon. Would you like to add to that?
No, I think, I mean, I think I'll, there's no doubt you've got questions on this, so I think I've got, we've got some expansion on some stuff.
Okay.
I'm happy to explain. I think it's probably best if you ask questions, and hopefully we'll be able to explain between us as we go along.
All right. Yes, bringing the bringing it back in house, that would involve a lot of investment, wouldn't it not?
It would potentially involve a lot of investment. I think probably the main two things really, if we brought it back in house, would be to find an IT solution to replace the current situation. So currently, the IT is hosted within the Capita data centre, which is quite a nice scenario because that's a big, I think that's a bunker in Kent somewhere, to be absolutely precise, but it's obviously a nice secure environment. So we would have to replicate that. Now, that wouldn't be impossible, but there would be an investment there. And then there would be the a certain level of investment required just going through the process of CHUPI, etc., etc. So again, that would be required. I don't think, to be honest, that would be insurmountable, but certainly those would be required if we were to bring things back in-house.
Thank you. And the seeking the shared service, there is one in operation at the moment, the Leicestershire Revenues and Benefit Partnership. Would we be thinking of joining that?
Yes, we believe that's a good option to have a look at. Now, in a way, some of the work that we'll be required to do to join the Revenues and Benefits Partnership would not be dissimilar to bringing the work back in-house. So it would still be a CHUPI process, and we'd still have to sort of do work on sort of the knowledge transfer and understanding the service level agreements. So that would still be required. Obviously, as an existing partnership, it has existing arrangements with its IT, but I think, I mean, hopefully this sort of comes out with a paper, really. I think the big thing that underpins all of our thinking at the moment, really, is universal credit. So I think on page 36, on paragraph 5, it sort of says where we are on universal credit.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think and it actually sort of influences all our thinking. So I guess this is the same with anything we would want to look at, but sort of risk and resilience and flexibility in this particular case are the key things that we want to look at going forward. And then clearly cost is an issue as well, but the sort of risk and resilience and flexibility are the big things that are very important in this context where we are with universal credit. And that's why a larger, more resilient arrangement with a shared service partnership, which we would potentially make four authorities involved in that, is a much more preferable thing to us than just being standalone. And that size, It gives us a bit of flexibility, greater resilience. So for all of those reasons, we would, you know, as from an office perspective, we would prefer that quite significantly to being in-house.
Do this shared, this partnership, do they use the same software as Capita do?
They do, in fact. There are...
The packages are there.
They do, yeah. There are actually three principal software packages. So there's a Capita One, a Northgate One, and a Civica One. And they're all called, I think the Capita One's now, it used to be called Academy, it's now called One Show or some such name, but it's basically the same. The partnership happened to use Academy, the same that we use here, so the system is essentially the same.
Okay. Anybody?
Yes, extend the existing contract. Would that be a more feasible situation to you at this given moment in time, until you're able to, because you'll have to take a procurement, or you'll have to look at it, Simon, won't you, as well? If you extend this 5 years, you'll have to look at it after 2.5, won't you?
Yes, that would be correct. I mean, I think the big thing about extending with Capita, I think the paper outlines some performance issues, and over the last year or two, it's probably declined. It shouldn't be in the state it is. Having said that, in recent months, they have actually made, I believe, genuine efforts to address those, and the performance numbers I've actually had today do indicate that actually the thing is being brought back into line. They've had to chuck some resources to get there, and they shouldn't have been in that situation with it, but having been in that situation, they are addressing it. But it would be the lowest risk, because it just allows us to continue the service as is. And the other thing is, I think maybe one of the key lines is it allows us to extend for a period of up to 5 years. So as we get nearer the universe, as we progress through time, then the where we are on universal credit will become more apparent. So although we've got up to 5 years, we don't necessarily need to extend for 5 years. We could extend for 1 year or 2 years, and we think that's more appropriate. And that level of flexibility is very attractive from where we're sitting at the moment.
And that would give you the opportunity to delve into option two, wouldn't it?
Potentially, yes. I mean, I think what we're looking to do is to actively consider the shared service partnership now. As I say, that's attractive to us. There's a certain amount of work we've got to do. I think one of the things we've got to tease out of the shared service partnership is some sort of plan or proposal that allows us to evaluate that option in a proper level of detail. Now, you know, we've had quite a lot of discussions with the lady who runs that, actually, but we've got to get to a point where they actually set out what they're going to do for us. But certainly we're looking to do that. If we did want to go down the route of looking at that in 2 or 3 years' time, then clearly we can extend with Capita for a relatively restricted period of time. In practice, the way the existing contract is structured is that the first 5 years for us to exit that contract would be very, very expensive. And I think that's one of the reasons why go down a full outsourcing procurement at this particular point in time, you wouldn't necessarily be very keen on it. Whereas for an extension, in practice, we would be able to sort of terminate and exit relatively easily and relatively cheaply. So I think if you look at the existing capital contract, to exit from the contract now in advance of 2020 would be about £30,000, I think it is, something like that, which plays against about £1.5 million to £2 million if you sort of look at year one, year two of the contract. So, you know, we would expect something similar with the extension. So again, that's why the sort of flexibility of that compared to the an expensive outsourcing arrangement at this stage is attractive.
Thank you, Simon.
Just Councillor Harper Davies for the tape. The hub is in Hinckley at the minute, so that's where the resources will come from, but it's a matter of working with them should we choose the option to get what's right for Charnwood. From Capita point of view, we have been significantly behind, but we, about two months ago, we put two extra staff in to get on top of the backlog, which was significant, which we're monitoring very, very well. Simon and Kerry are monitoring very, very closely. And now we've got an additional about five, another five heads to get on top of our backlog. So they're heading in the right direction, but we need them to be in exactly the right direction should we pursue that option.
Okay, thank you. Andy?
Yeah, again, Chair, as you put it, looking at the options, bring the currently outsourced service back in-house. Now, we've already discussed about the IT issues and the complications, more staff, software, etc. I've checked, you know, the shared service arrangements, and again, I believe that is a good option going forward. But I think, in, you know, the moment in its infancy with universal credit and the rollout, whatever. So
we're still waiting for direction from Universal Credit, aren't
we? Well, we are. Yeah. I mean, the partnership, the shared service partnership, is well established now. In fairness, that's a well established arrangement with the three authorities. So we could, obviously, us joining it, we would be the largest authority with the largest caseload. So we'd probably increase the total caseload of the partnership by sort of 35-40%. But
I did read that in the report, and I think you've answered the question going forward. Extend the existing contract with the proviso 2.5 years down the line, that we put that back
us,
in.
It gives us a degree of flexibility, doesn't it?
It really does. So I've looked at all the options and made notes.
And I think although, again, the capital should have been where they are, the fact that they've been able to provide the resource to get us back to where we were approaching, where we should be, is sort of illustrative of why resilience is good. So they've got two people from Sheffield and five people from Carlisle who are processing this off-site and are working on this. And, you know, if we look at actually who sits there on the seats out there, so things like business rates, there's one person who does business rates, and that's actually all you'd need and be able to justify from the work. But if he was to go off sick or long term, it would be Capita's job to find someone to actually replace that across the service. And similarly with the partnership, if there's, you know, I would expect there'll be probably two and a half full-time equivalents doing that within the context of a shared service arrangement, one of whom would probably be Peter, who would transfer across under Tupi. But again, if you've got two or two and a half people rather than one, it puts you in a much happier position going forward.
Thank you. Any further comments?
Yeah.
Yes, Matthew.
The shared service partnership, how has their service, how does their service compare to Capita's? Do we believe that our service would improve?
I mean, the answer is yes. I mean, I think that's yes, our service can and should improve, and we've developed the, I mean, one of the issues we've got with the current Capita contract is a lot of the service levels and the performance indicators were based on the old best value performance indicators, which sort of got abolished with the Audit Commission within about 6 months or a year after we started the contract. So the core metrics we had in the contract has disappeared. So going forward with Capita, we would certainly have metrics that enables us to manage the contract much more effectively. Now, one of the things we would want to do with the partnership is to agree a similar set of metrics that they would expect to deliver against. Now, we do know through our sort of engagement with Leicestershire, there's a sort of Leicestershire Revenues and Benefits Forum, which is just sort of all the representatives across Leicestershire meet together. So we have a fairly clear idea about what the performance of the partnership is, and it's perfectly reasonable. I think this is one of the things we want to do, would be to sort of look at this in more detail and agree what sort of not necessarily contractual obligations we would have, because it's, rather than being a private sector organisation, it would be a public arrangement. But certainly I think we'd want to understand what the expectations of service delivery would be and performance would be, and that's obviously what we're going to attempt to try and work towards to present the cabinet with the choice based on this decision. That's what we'll be looking to work on going forward.
Thank you very much.
And how many councils are using that shared partnership?
It's based, as Councillor Harper Davies said, it's based in Hinckley, and that's they run Northwest Leicestershire and Harper District Councils process as well. I think most of the staff are based in Hinckley, but there are some, I believe, who work from home. there may be some satellite processing done in Northwestern and Harbour, but it is, you know, again, how that would work for us and whether we would still maintain a core of staff here or whether they would work from home or whether they would potentially transfer for Hinckley. They're the sort of details we want to tease out because they're probably quite important in presenting the business case in due course.
I have got a couple more. Mentioned option three in extending the contract with Capita. It mentions one of the cons as being Capita's financial position.
Yes.
And what they marked as at the beginning of January 2018. Obviously, we're now in October. Has their financial position strengthened over the last 10 months?
I think it's been consolidated. I think obviously the concern with contractor failure, and obviously Carillion is the one that everyone looks at. I think mostly the major outsourcers have issues. I think with Capita, what they have got, and we've been able to sort of see and been advised of, is they've got cash and they've sort of sold some of their businesses. So actually some of the businesses we've been dealing with on separate matters, such as Link, who used to be part of Capita, so Link advises on our treasury management. A business called Regional Enterprises has been looking at and helping us with some of our property options evaluation. So they were part of Capita and they've been sold. So what Capita are doing is retrenching, getting out of business they don't understand. And they have got developed a cash pile, which is actually the absolute key difference between themselves and Carillion. A lot of the major outsourcers are having, you know, the people are looking at their profitability, and certainly Capita's amongst that. And I think it's something that when we come to present the final business case and an evaluation of Capita's financial position is something we would need to do. So I think they're not out of the woods yet. You know, where they are at the moment is not great, but they are a stable organisation, even if not necessarily hugely profitable at this moment in time.
Okay. If we were to renew, if we were to extend the contract with them,
yeah.
You mentioned that we could do it for a lower term.
Yep.
What is the minimum term, and are there any cost implications with that?
We haven't gone down that particular route. I think it's up to 5 years, based on what we know, and you know, there's no reason why we would have to go down a 5-year route. So I think that's one of the things we would have to establish, whether we did want to do it for 2, 3, 5 years. I think, to be honest, we haven't done the work, but yep, potentially to have it for up to 5 years and then establish what the termination and exit payments were at a particular point in time would be probably my view of the way forward, so that if we understand that termination exit at a particular period of time is not financially excessive, then that gives us the insurance of an ongoing service delivery for 5 years, but the option of pursuing an alternative strategy within that period. So I think that's what we would look to achieve. You know, that's not a piece of work we've done yet, and that will be the piece of work we would do going forward.
And if you were to extend the contract with Capita, is there enough concern regarding their financial position that you'd look to put any contingency plans into place?
We've got a contingency plan at the moment, so we've actually got within the council, I think we've been asked to create contingency plans for all our major contractors, so Serco, I'm not sure about Ivy Verde, but other suppliers like Interserve. So across the outsourcing sector, it's generally out of fashion, and there are profit issues with some of their contracts. But we've got that with Capita, and certainly it's something we'll be looking to strengthen as part of the overall risk factor. In fact, the reality of it is we've got a lot of people there, so it will be the same people in the same seats doing the same job.
Yep.
So that bit, I don't think is a problem. I think the key thing is establishing how we would do an IT cutover in a hurry. Okay. So that's the bit we'd have to maybe flesh out a little bit more than what we have at the moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You said with the shared partnership, people that they employ work from home.
I believe some of them do. Yes.
What security have they got in case anyone they had a house break, or someone hacked in?
Yeah.
I know they can hack into most, but
I mean, I guess the short answer is we don't know. I mean, that's something, we don't know how it works for for the partnership, we are looking at home. We have people who work from home at the moment. We're looking to have some pilots. So those are the same issues that we would have. So we would have to establish that things like data was kept secure, that people did process on appropriate equipment, such that if there was a break-in, that would be secure. So for example, here we have VDI at the moment. So if someone steals your laptop, but you're on VDI, then the actual data that you've been processing is on the servers in here. So we would expect something similar. There's also things like the softer things like policies and training, and even quite basic things like making sure, you know, is your house secure. But when you work from home, you're expected to work from home and not be sort of in a, well, hesitate to say, party atmosphere. But you would obviously want a sort of suitably appropriate and secure and quiet working environment. So that's a fair question. That's absolutely a good question, and it's absolutely something we need to understand for that to work out for you.
Thank you.
But that would be true of whatever system we operated.
And it's true of whatever system or whatever service, so we have to do a risk assessment. Yeah. But clearly they do it, and in fairness, I would expect that they've had some due regard to all of that, and that those organisations will have to be GDPR compliant, so I would expect all those things to be in place, to be honest, but we haven't checked in fairness.
Any further comments from anybody? No, I think not. Okay, then the recommendation on the paper is that the Cabinet endorse the development of options 2 and 3 set out in Part B, and that's what we've been talking about, scrutinising that. I think option 1 was, it was prudent to rule that out because of the cost of in-house development, etc. And option 4 is going to have to be done anyway at some point, you know, when we go to recontract. So I think we've really got no reservation in recommending that we do go forward with considering options 2 and 3 further. Everybody happy with that?
Yes.
Yep.
Thank you very much indeed. That's super.
Thank you.
Right, the next one we have to talk about is item 7, which is the overview scrutiny group, the Cabinet response. And some of our deliberations were presented to the Cabinet, and both the Environmental Services contract and the participation in pilot scheme, and the Cabinet adopted the Office's recommendations, which the group had supported. And to add to that, the leader, Jonathan Morgan, asked me to convey to him his thanks for the work we did on that article. The next thing we have to talk about is the work programme, and there's not a lot on the work programme at the moment.
Thank you for running through that, Chair.
Thank you.
The work programme is on page 43. There's the covering report, and the actual current programme is on the following two pages, 44 and 45. And as the Chair says, in November you've got the three standing items on there, and then the Scrutiny Management Board has asked you to look at a couple of other issues. One is the capital plan outturn, and the other is the general fund revenue outturn. They're both next June. So as things stand, that is your current programme. There's the current published list of the forward plan of key decisions is attached. That starts on page 47. And you can see there the items that are scheduled to go to Cabinet in November and, well, onwards really. So whether there are any of those that you want to consider adding to the work programme. You get three goes to do this, I think. One, you can do this now. Mm-hmm. Two, you can do it when the Cabinet agenda comes out. And three, you'll do it if the Scrutiny Management Board have referred it. So there are other opportunities to identify items. Do you want me to go through any of them in a bit more detail, Chair?
Yes, please, if you will.
So we've got the medium-term financial strategy is the first key decision. Obviously, that's been presented as a draft. That was a couple months ago. That will be going to budget scrutiny panel, but it's going to cabinet in November.
That will go to another scrutiny panel.
It will go to budget scrutiny. Okay. I think it will. Yeah. And then in December, the key decisions. The first one are the next next round of John Grant. So this is round three.
Okay.
So these are the applications that have come in for various sites of community grant. This will be trying to allocate the remaining budget for the rest of the year. And they'll, as you possibly know, they're scored by a panel, and then those recommendations go to Cabinet and they then endorse those to award those grants. We've got the playing pitches, open spaces and built facility strategies. So three strategies, they're quite important strategies for the council. They are going in December. I'm not aware of where they've actually been, all of them, but I do believe the open space strategy went to policy scrutiny group, so it has been looked at. And we've got the licensing options. So this is whether or not the council should introduce a, it says discretionary licensing scheme. There are two types of scheme. But this is something that was looked at a couple of years ago, and Cabinet asked for more work to be done, so this would be to bring that item back.
Licensing for what?
This is for houses in multiple occupation.
Okay. Mm. That's quite a hot topic at the moment, HMS.
Yeah. Yes.
I think maybe we should put that on.
Yes, please.
We should have a look at that one.
Yeah. Yeah. A note of caution that whether actually...
Do the warning.
Yes, I will, thank you.
He's not here in December, Jeff.
So well, I was just going to say, I'm not actually entirely certain that this report will go to Cabinet in December.
Okay.
It is scheduled to at the moment. But of course, this is the early state decision, but certainly not the latest date. So. Then you've got over the page, also in December, capital plan amendment report. So that's a quarterly report. Anything that's come forward for inclusion in the capital plan, any new schemes or any adjustments to any schemes, that's what that report is for. And also alongside that, any similarly a quarterly update of the procurement plan, so any contracts that we need to award in the remainder of this financial year that haven't already been approved, they'll come forward in that report. And we've got a bit of a gap through to February when we start getting some more financial reports. So there's the treasury management strategy. These are things that we have to do. This is for the next financial year. So in February we will be approving the treasury strategy for 2019-20. That does go to council, as does the other item on the 14th of February, which is next year's budget.
Yeah.
So I guess because the budget will have been through its own separate scrutiny process. And then looking ahead, you've then got the following quarters, capital plan amendment report and procurement plan updates there in March. And then the housing capital programme, which is for 2019-20. That will be going to Cabinet before the start of the next financial year. And the local development scheme, not to be confused with the local plan. This is the local development scheme, which is the statutory obligation we have to present an up-to-date scheme, which is basically the production cycle for the local plan. So that will be going to Cabinet in March, as will the council's business plan for 2019-20. So that's all of the activities that we're going to be undertaking in 1920, which is the final year of the current corporate plan. I'll stop there, Chair.
Yes,
thank you.
So.
Right up to next March.
Oh, yes, I've got plenty.
As I say, any of these, when they actually appear on an agenda, that's when you'd have the opportunity to happen to OSG's agenda.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's leave them for the time being. We have plenty of time to have them. Unless anybody has some strong feelings. Apart from the HMO one, I don't have any strong feelings about any of them.
Do you want me to add the HMO item just to the agenda, and then obviously as and when we get it through, I'll let you know.
Yeah, because it's fairly light, isn't it?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yes, it's been well thrashed out, the HMO ones.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you very much for your attendance.
Thank you.
Let's close the meeting and
thank you.
Get on with the evening.
Roll chair.